dreams. I, the lost joy. All day, where the sunlight played on the seashore, life sat. All day the soft wind played with her hair, and the young, young face looked out across the water. She was waiting, but she could not tell for what. All day the waves ran up and up on the sand, and ran back again, and the pink shells rolled. Life sat waiting, all day, with the sunlight in her eyes. She sat there, till, grown weary, she laid her head upon her knee and fell asleep, waiting still. Then a keel grated on the sand, and then a step was on the shore. Life awoke and heard it. A hand was laid upon her, and a great shudder passed through her. She looked up, and saw over her the strange, wide eyes of Love, and Life now knew for whom she had sat there waiting. And Love drew Life up to him. And of that meeting was born a thing rare and beautiful, joy. First joy was it called. The sunlight when it shines upon the merry water is not so glad, the rosebuds, when they turn back their lips for the sun's first kiss, are not so ruddy. Its tiny pulses beat quick. It was so warm, so soft. It never spoke, but it laughed and played in the sunshine, and Love and Life rejoiced exceedingly. Neither whispered it to the other, but deep in its own heart each said, "It shall be ours forever." Then there came a time, was it after weeks? Was it after months? Love and Life do not measure time, when the thing was not as it had been. Still it played, still it laughed, still it stained its mouth with purple berries, but sometimes the little hands hung weary, and the little eyes looked out heavily across the water. And Life and Love dared not look into each other's eyes, dared not say, "What ails our darling?" Each heart whispered to itself, it is nothing, tomorrow it will laugh out clear." But tomorrow and tomorrow came. They journeyed on, and the child played beside them, but heavily, more heavily. One day Life and Love lay down to sleep, and when they awoke, it was gone. Only, near them, on the grass, sat a little stranger, with wide open eyes, very soft and sad. Neither noticed it, but they walked apart, weeping bitterly, "Oh, our joy! Our lost joy! Shall we see you no more forever?" The little soft and sad-eyed stranger slipped a hand into one hand of each, and drew them closer, and Life and Love walked on with it between them. And when Life looked down in anguish, she saw her tears reflected in its soft eyes. And when Love, mad with pain, cried out, "I am weary, I am weary. I can journey no further. The light is all behind, the dark is all before," a little rosy finger pointed where the sunlight lay upon the hillsides. Always its large eyes were sad and thoughtful, always the little brave mouth was smiling quietly. When on the sharp stones Life cut her feet, he wiped the blood upon his garments, and kissed the wounded feet with his little lips. When in the desert Love lay down faint, for love itself grows faint, he ran over the hot sand with his little naked feet, and even there in the desert found water in the holes in the rocks to moisten Love's lips with. He was no burden, he never weighted them, he only helped them forward on their journey. When they came to the dark ravine where the icicles hang from the rocks, for Love and Life must pass through strange drear places, there, where all is cold, and the snow lies thick, he took their freezing hands and held them against his beating little heart, and warmed them, and softly he drew them on and on. And when they came beyond, into the land of sunshine and flowers, strangely the great eyes lit up, and dimples broke out upon the face. Brightly laughing, it ran over the soft grass, gathered honey from the hollow tree, and brought it them on the palm of its hand, carried them water in the leaves of the lily, and gathered flowers and wreathed them round their heads, softly laughing all the while. He touched them as their joy had touched them, but his fingers clung more tenderly. So they wandered on, through the dark lands and the light, always with that little brave smiling one between them. Sometimes they remembered that first radiant joy, and whispered to themselves, "Oh! Could we but find him also!" At last they came to where Reflection sits, that strange old woman who is always one elbow on her knee, and her chin in her hand, and who steals light out of the past to shed it on the future. And Life and Love cried out, "O wise one! Tell us, when first we met, a lovely radiant thing belonged to us, gladness without a tear, sunshine without a shade. Oh! How did we sin that we lost it? Where shall we go that we may find it?" And she, the wise old woman, answered, "To have it back, will you give up that which walks beside you now?" And in agony Love and Life cried, "No. Give up this," said Life. "When the thorns have pierced me, who will suck the poison out? When my head throbs, who will lay his tiny hands upon it and still the beating? In the cold and the dark, who will warm my freezing heart?" And Love cried out, "Better let me die. Without joy I can live, without this I cannot. Let me rather die, not lose it." And the wise old woman answered, O fools and blind! What you once had is that which you have now. When love and life first meet, a radiant thing is born, without a shade. When the roads begin to roughen, when the shades begin to darken, when the days are hard, and the nights cold and long, then it begins to change. Love and life will not see it, will not know it, till one day they start up suddenly, crying, O God! O God! We have lost it. Where is it? They do not understand that they could not carry the laughing thing unchanged into the desert, and the frost, and the snow. They do not know that what walks beside them still is the joy grown older. The grave, sweet, tender thing, warm in the coldest snows, brave in the dreariest deserts, its name is sympathy, it is the perfect love. South Africa, 2. The Hunter. In certain valleys there was a hunter. Day by day he went to hunt for wild fowl in the woods, and it chanced that once he stood on the shores of a large lake. While he stood waiting in the rushes for the coming of the birds, a great shadow fell on him, and in the water he saw a reflection. He looked up to the sky, but the thing was gone. Then a burning desire came over him to see once again that reflection in the water, and all day he watched and waited, but night came and it had not returned. Then he went home with his empty bag, moody and silent. His comrades came questioning about him to know the reason, but he answered them nothing, he sat alone and brooded. Then his friend came to him, and to him he spoke. I have seen today, he said, that which I never saw before, a vast white bird, with silver wings outstretched, sailing in the everlasting blue. And now it is as though a great fire burned within my breast. It was but a sheen, a shimmer, a reflection in the water, but now I desire nothing more on earth than to hold her. His friend laughed. It was but a beam playing on the water, or the shadow of your own head. Tomorrow you will forget her, he said. But tomorrow, and tomorrow, and tomorrow the hunter walked alone. He sought in the forest and in the woods, by the lakes and among the rushes, but he could not find her. He shot no more wild fowl. What were they to him? What ails him? Said his comrades. He is mad, said one. No, but he is worse, said another. He would see that which none of us have seen, and make himself a wonder. Come, let us forswear his company, said all. So the hunter walked alone. One night, as he wandered in the shade, very heart-sore and weeping, an old man stood before him, grander and taller than the sons of men. Who are you? Asked the hunter. I am Wisdom, answered the old man, but some men call me Knowledge. All my life I have grown in these valleys, but no man sees me till he has sorrowed much. The eyes must be washed with tears that are to behold me, and, according as a man has suffered, I speak. And the hunter cried, Oh, you who have lived here so long, tell me, what is that great wild bird I have seen sailing in the blue? They would have me believe she is a dream, the shadow of my own head. The old man smiled. Her name is Truth. He who has once seen her never rests again. Till death he desires her. And the hunter cried, Oh, tell me where I may find her. But the old man said, You have not suffered enough, and went. Then the hunter took from his breast the shuttle of imagination, and wound on it the thread of his wishes, and all night he sat and wove a net. In the morning he spread the golden net upon the ground, and into it he threw a few grains of credulity, which his father had left him, and which he kept in his breast pocket. They were like white puffballs, and when he trod on them a brown dust flew out. Then he sat by to see what would happen. The first that came into the net was a snow-white bird, with dove's eyes, and he sang a beautiful song, A human god. A human god. A human god. It sang. The second that came was black and mystical, with dark, lovely eyes, that looked into the depths of your soul, and he sang only this, Immortality. And the hunter took them both in his arms. For he said, They are surely of the beautiful family of Truth. Then came another, green and gold, who sang in a shrill voice, like one crying in the marketplace, Reward after death. Reward after death. And he said, You are not so fair, but you are fair too, and he took it. And others came, brightly colored, singing pleasant songs, till all the grains were finished. And the hunter gathered all his birds together, and built a strong iron cage called a new creed. And put all his birds in it. Then the people came about dancing and singing. Oh, happy hunter! They cried. Oh, wonderful man! Oh, delightful birds! Oh, lovely songs! No one asked where the birds had come from, nor how they had been caught, but they danced and sang before them. And the hunter too was glad, for he said, Surely Truth is among them. In time she will moult her feathers, and I shall see her snow-white form. But the time passed, and the people sang and danced, but the hunter's heart grew heavy. He crept alone, as of old, to weep. The terrible desire had awakened again in his breast. One day, as he sat alone weeping, it chanced that Wisdom met him. He told the old man what he had done. And Wisdom smiled sadly. "Many men," he said, "have spread the net for truth, but they have never found her. On the grains of credulity she will not feed, in the net of wishes her feet cannot be held, in the air of these valleys she will not breathe. The birds you have caught are the brood of lies. Lovely and beautiful, but still lies, truth knows them not." And the hunter cried out in bitterness. "And must I then sit still, to be devoured of this great burning?" And the old man said, "Listen, and in that you have suffered much and wept much, I will tell you what I know. He who sets out to search for truth must leave these valleys of superstition forever, taking with him not one shred that has belonged to them. Alone he must wander down into the land of absolute negation and denial, he must abide there, he must resist temptation. When the light breaks he must arise and follow it into the country of dry sunshine. The mountains of stern reality will rise before him, he must climb them, beyond them lies truth. And he will hold her fast. He will hold her in his hands." The hunter cried. Wisdom shook his head. "He will never see her, never hold her. The time is not yet."
"Then there is no hope?" cried the hunter.
"There is this," said Wisdom. "Some men have climbed on those mountains. Circle above circle of bare rock they have scaled, and, wandering there, in those high regions, some have chanced to pick up on the ground one white silver feather, dropped from the wing of truth. And it shall come to pass," said the old man, raising himself prophetically and pointing with his finger to the sky, "it shall come to pass, that when enough of those silver feathers shall have been gathered by the hands of men, and shall have been woven into a cord, and the cord into a net, that in that net truth may be captured. Nothing but truth can hold truth." The hunter arose. "I will go," he said. But Wisdom detained him. "Mark you well, who leaves these valleys never returns to them. Though he should weep tears of blood 7 days and nights upon the confines, he can never put his foot across them. Left, they are left forever. Upon the road which you would travel there is no reward offered. Who goes, goes freely, for the great love that is in him. The work is his reward."
"I go," said the hunter, "but upon the mountains, tell me, which path shall I take?"
"I am the child of the accumulated knowledge of ages," said the man. "I can walk only where many men have trodden. On these mountains few feet have passed, each man strikes out a path for himself. He goes at his own peril, my voice he hears no more. I may follow after him, but cannot go before him." Then knowledge vanished. And the hunter turned. He went to his cage, and with his hands broke down the bars, and the jagged iron tore his flesh. It is sometimes easier to build than to break. One by one he took his plumed birds and let them fly. But when he came to his dark plumed bird he held it, and looked into its beautiful eyes, and the bird uttered its low, deep cry, "Immortality." And he said quickly, "I cannot part with it. It is not heavy, it eats no food. I will hide it in my breast, I will take it with me." And he buried it there and covered it over with his cloak. But the thing he had hidden grew heavier, 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 till it lay on his breast like lead. He could not move with it. He could not leave those valleys with it. Then again he took it out and looked at it. "Oh, my beautiful! My heart's own!" he cried, "may I not keep you?" He opened his hands sadly. "Go," he said. "It may happen that in truth's song one note is like yours, but I shall never hear it." Sadly he opened his hand, and the bird flew from him forever. Then from the shuttle of imagination he took the thread of his wishes, and threw it on the ground, and the empty shuttle he put into his breast, for the thread was made in those valleys, but the shuttle came from an unknown country. He turned to go, but now the people came about him, howling. "Fool, hound, demented lunatic," they cried. "How dared you break your cage and let the birds fly?" The hunter spoke, but they would not hear him. "Truth. Who is she? Can you eat her? Can you drink her? Who has ever seen her? Your birds were real, all could hear them sing.